You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 31st of July 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Yes, we've reached Friday again once again. That means we must have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Doing all right. The rain, sleet, snow, and network outages. We do it all to bring this Friday installment of Glad World in Review for the pleasure, for the listening pleasure of those who tune in. Great to be here, Sven. I think we're going to have a fun topic today. Looks fun. Looks like a great way to round out the week.
Definitely. It's the hottest day on this year that I'm in here at the moment. I'm sweating away here with the fan switched off so that we don't get noises in the podcast like we've just got now from Skype issues. Of course, we have to have Skype issues. What would this podcast be on Friday without Skype issues? Grandpa, are you still there?
Oh, I'm still here. And we shouldn't feel bad because I was watching a video the other day of, like, I think it was Tucker Carlson, and he had a guy doing videos, you know, deal off of Skype. And it was so bad. I'm sitting there going like, Tucker, just stop. Just stop. It's not even, we can't even listen to this, you know. So it's not just us, you know. The supposedly mainstream people deal with these same issues as well. Now that everybody's on Corona lockdown, they get to feel our pain.
Well, that's good to hear. And it's not just us that are getting cancelled by those who we must not name as well. It seems that there have been a lot of rather woke blacks recently that have been talking about the people we're not supposed to talk about. There's been various rappers that have been talking about how there's a certain minority that have a disproportionate influence on the music scene, and now we've also have a rather high up civil rights activist who has been pointing out this anomaly, and of course he's being attacked for it, and the certain people are demanding that he lose his position. Philadelphia's NAACP president Rodney Muhammad, a prominent civil rights figure and local Nation of Islam leader, is facing mounting calls to resign after he shared an anti-Semitic meme on Facebook. Muhammad sparked outrage last week when he posted the meme, which featured photos of Ice Cube, DeSean Jackson, and Nick Cannon, all of whom have been criticized recently for making anti-Semitic comments, over a drawing of a yarmulke-wearing man using his hand to crush a group of people. And for those of you who haven't seen this, this yarmulke-wearing man is La Happy Merchant meme, a very famous meme that's been on the internet for at least the last 10 years. It's probably the most used meme that there actually is on the internet that he was using here. But the real thing about this is that these blacks don't seem to be aware that you're not supposed to criticize Jews, especially on Facebook, because they've been pretty much allowed to say whatever they like. They can say the N-word, they can say whatever they like about whites, and they just don't understand that you're not supposed to say these things about Jews, and it just keeps happening. Grandpa, what do you make of this horrific meme which shows a hand crushing a group of people with a Happy Merchant on it?
Well, it's kind of, honestly, it's kind of so 2016, to be honest, but no, it's... I love how they talk about in the story, you know, this they were criticized for making anti-Semitic comments. But they as I recall, the comments really weren't anti-Semitic. They were just pointing out that, you know, this small, very small segment of the population yet has all of this wealth and all of this, you know, disproportionate amount of influence and power over our society. And yet by pointing that out, they were proven wrong by being silenced, criticized, fired, and whatnot. So I never understand exactly how, you know, that's supposed to work. But, and never mind the fact that, like, in Israeli media, you know, papers and things such as that, I mean, they openly write articles boasting about how they have all of this influence and power over, like, you know, these segments of U.S. society. And, yeah, you know, it's, and in their defense, you know, they've been told all these years, like so many other people, like everybody else, that, you know, that basically Jews are just white people. So that's why they're not in a tiny segment of overrepresented money and influence and things such as that. You know, Jews are just white people, and they've been told that criticizing white people is A-okay. So, I mean, they're just fine. And then they just happen to go ahead and throw out what they view as like a subgroup of white people, and they discover all of a sudden it's not so much. And then you get into the whole confusion with the whole, like I've always liked to call it, the Jew is switch. Is it a race? Is it a religion? It just depends, you know. So maybe he was just criticizing their religion, but then that wouldn't that be allowed, since Christianity could be criticized nonstop by Muslims? So even that just seems to run into a wall here. So yeah, no, it's funny to watch it happen, watch it play out in real life. And you know, this guy here, he stepped on the landmine, and he made, like, really honestly, as we go through this, it's obviously a totally noob move here. He should have talked with Louis Farrakhan before stepping off in there, because Louis Farrakhan knows how to handle this stuff. This guy obviously is in way over his head.
Yeah, I would question this bit here about how these Ice Cube, DeSean Jackson, and Nick Cannon, they were criticized recently for making anti-Semitic comments. Well, no, they were the ones that were making the criticizing. They were the ones that were criticizing all this power that Jews have, and then they were cancelled. Then they were crushed. I mean, this meme, I mean, it is really displaying what actually happened, and it seems to me as if, you know, more and more of these black activists are waking up to the way the world actually is. Well, the image was accompanied by a quote wrongly attributed to the philosopher François Voltaire, which read, "To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize." Now, why does it matter who that was written by? I mean, if what it is saying is factual, which it quite clearly is, to learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Obviously, they are the ones that have enough power to silence you if you criticize them. Quite obviously, they are the ones who rule over you. I mean, it's a sensible comment. It really doesn't matter who it is that actually came out with this comment. And luckily, I did a podcast with Dennis Wise a couple of weeks back on Voltaire. And we looked into this quote, and apparently it was written by a biographer of Voltaire around about 1903, something like that. It was over 100 years ago. This biographer was writing about Voltaire, and she said this is the sort of comment that he would make. This sums up what Voltaire said. So, you know, although it's not Voltaire, it basically sums up what it was that he was talking about. And to just put in that, oh, it's wrongly attributed to him, does that cancel it out? Does it mean that, you know, you can't use that? Well, of course it doesn't. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on this? It's wrongly attributed to François Voltaire, so it can't possibly be true.
Well, what's funny is I remember a few short years ago when Google was telling me that it was a Voltaire quote. And then now today, if you go back and check it, it says that it's attributed to some white supremacist that, quite honestly, I've never heard of. But you hit the nail on the head. It's all distraction. It's all distraction where you're not supposed to, you know, you muddy the waters with, oh, it wasn't even really said by Voltaire, but it muddies the water. So you don't question, well, is it a factual statement? Is it an observation you could make? It wouldn't matter who says it. It wouldn't matter if it was said by, you know, a homeless guy mumbling to himself on the streets. It's a good, insightful observation. If you want to see who rules over you, just look around, see who you're not allowed to criticize. And if you do that, well, this guy here just found out you found out really quickly who you're not allowed to criticize. You can criticize anybody in this country. You can even criticize blacks. You'll get some blowback for that. But for the most part, it's fairly mild. But you criticize the you-know-whos, and these are celebrities. These are black celebrities. They're supposed to be basically untouchable. You know, and quickly they find out that no, not allowed to do that. Here you have a prominent civil rights leader, black civil rights leader, and he was quickly instructed that no, you're not allowed to do this. And it's interesting as we go through this to see quite a bit of pressure was put on him by the way he reacts to this.
Well, it seems as if quite a few people are now asking, well, why do we have this separate anti-Semitism thing? Doesn't it all come under the heading of racism? Why do the Jews have a separate little law for themselves to prevent criticism of them? Why doesn't it just come under racism? I'm seeing that pop up more and more in the comments to do with these articles. And of course, you know, we're allowed to criticize the king. We've been able to criticize the king and poke fun at the monarchy for years. We can criticize the government, but there is this one group that we are not allowed to criticize for some reason. Well, Philadelphia's Jewish leaders demanded Muhammad's resignation over the weekend. And on Monday, he issued a statement explaining that he hadn't realized the anti-Semitic connotations to his meme. And I'm wondering what he means there, because, you know, it's truthful. It is exactly what has happened. And what are they saying? Are they saying that, you know, it's anti-Semitic to say that, to learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize? I mean, we've been told it's anti-Semitic to point out that 2% of the population rule over everybody else. And again, that's just a fact. When you look at the proportion of money, it's 1% that have all the wealth and 99% that don't. It was only a few years back that one of these pro-Jewish organizations were claiming that was anti-Semitic. I mean, just pointing out the supposedly good things that the Jews have done, such as bringing in homosexual marriage, legalizing abortion, you know, pointing these things out. Jews are allowed to point them out, and they're allowed to celebrate them. If we point them out, then it's anti-Semitism. And also, I do find it hard to believe that he didn't know what the happy merchant meme is. I do think he is kind of trolling them there. But also this demanding his resignation for this. I bet he was quite surprised at that. What do you think, Grandpa?
The backpedaling here is really kind of funny. You know, I didn't realize it was. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, if you got to put that out there, just roll with it. But no, you've touched on something I think is really important there, Sven. And I mean, it's worth pointing out again here. And that is, I mean, if Jews are white, then why is anti-Semitism a thing? Can somebody be Jewish if they're not practicing the quote unquote Jewish religion? Well, of course, we know that is fact because Israel is not a theocracy, and yet it is considered a Jewish state. I mean, by their law, it's considered a Jewish state, but yet it isn't a theocracy. So obviously it's not a religion. So if they're white, then how come anti-Semitism exists? And you can see why this becomes an issue when you get into these black civil rights leaders, because they're sitting there going, well, these look like white people to me, and they're basically, you know, apparently white, but yet they say something about them, and he wasn't criticizing their religion. He wasn't saying this religious group is oppressing these black celebrities who've spoken out against them. And you can kind of see, I think, where that conflict comes in, where that whole, you know, where you have this blowback. And it's just so telling that, again, I mean, he makes this statement and puts this meme up, and, you know, it wasn't the dankest of memes, but okay, you know, like I say, by 2016 standards, it was fairly average. And yet they turn around and like prove it true by putting all this pressure on him by these black celebrities that had all of this blowback when they criticized and pointed these things out. And it's like, It the lack of self-awareness that, you know, you're really kind of proving their point by reacting this way. It's really kind of breathtaking, to be honest.
That's the really funny thing. I mean, people point things out. They'll point stuff out on Twitter, and then straight away some Jew will come up, well, I'm going to take this up with Jack and get this banned from Twitter. And you're like, well, can anybody else just get stuff banned from Twitter? Directly speak to Twitter and get it done? There's only this one group that is that he's capable of doing that. Well, his explanation did little to subdue the outrage, as Pennsylvania's Governor Tom Wolf and Attorney General Josh Shapiro have now joined the calls for Muhammad to step down as NAACP president. Again, we see here, look at the importance of the people that are involved here, because this one civil rights leader put up a jokey meme highlighting the fact that what these other black celebrities had said had been proved true. They had been squashed effectively by the people they were pointing out they weren't allowed to criticize. Well, Muhammad said on Monday that he had deleted the meme after he learned that the images it contained had previously been distributed by white supremacists. I later learned that not only was the quote I used misattributed to the philosopher Francois Voltaire, but in fact the quote and image had been used previously by white supremacists, he wrote in a statement late Monday night. I immediately removed both the quote and the offensive images. It was never my intention to offend anyone or cause any hurt. I stand with all members of the Jewish faith in the fight for social justice, and I intend to use this opportunity for thoughtful conversations with both the black and Jewish communities. And again, just because a so-called white supremacist has used something, does that mean it can't be used? I mean, we all breathe the same air. Can you not breathe the air? Can you not walk on the earth because white supremacists have walked upon it? Does it mean that what was said is untrue because it was a white supremacist who supposedly said this? I mean, it's nonsense. And again, he's pointing out here this I stand with all members of the Jewish faith. What was there about the Jewish faith that he was criticizing there? He was criticizing their influence, and they're basically just proving it with this. What do you make of his backtracking here, Grandpa?
Well, once again, I wish somebody could give us a definition of what the hell a white supremacist even is, because we see that thrown around all the time, and no one can ever really actually give us a definition of it. It seems pretty much, if you just look at the reactions to it, it seems to be pretty much anybody who's pro-white in any way, shape, or form, or anybody that dares to criticize the Jews. But yeah, and it's funny because he quit. I don't even think he wrote this statement, by the way. I just look at it and I'm like, yeah, no, he didn't. I don't really think he wrote this statement. And you see, once again, flip the switch to faith. Members of the Jewish faith. Oh, it's a religion now. Oh, okay. And so this is a religion that we're not allowed to criticize. I think one of the things that's really telling, Sven, from what you just read here, though, is this tells us you have all of this pressure from politicians and everything else demanding he step down as a civil rights leader. And I think this is very telling to us that those who are presented as black civil rights leaders are, who chooses that? Who chooses to get to be a black civil rights leader? And this is something that I think people in that community ought to really reflect upon and think about. I mean, there's a reason if you turn on your network news, you're not going to be given Louis Farrakhan with a perspective on black civil rights. You're going to be seeing these usual faces that are presented. You're allowed to see these guys as black civil rights leaders. It's like in history, you don't see hardly anything about Malcolm X, but it's all Martin Luther King. It's who's pre-selected and who you're allowed to be presented as a black civil rights leader.
Well, you can also look back at the history of civil rights, and you can see prior to, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was all set up by Jews, and it was all Jews that were running these black civil rights unions and groups and what have you, and they were effectively using blacks as the front men for them. And this is one of the main criticisms that Louis Farrakhan has made. E. Michael Jones has done lots and lots of research into this, showing this. It's an open secret, basically, that these organizations were started up by Jews and were promoted by Jews, and they are the ones that make these civil rights leaders. So what they're doing is they're reminding him who it is that's in charge. If it wasn't for them, he wouldn't be a civil rights leader. He wouldn't have got all the publicity that they gave him. I mean, it goes both ways, basically, I think. Well, Muhammad has not returned media requests for comment this week, but he did speak briefly to local news outlet Billy Penn on Friday. To be real honest with you, I didn't even pay attention to the picture, he said. And, you know, that may be true. It may even be that he's not even the one responsible for tweeting out his Twitter account, if he's a particularly famous person. He says, the real source of the quote on the meme is Kevin Strom, an American neo-Nazi, Holocaust denier and white supremacist, who was convicted on child pornography charges in 2008. And, of course, they're hoping that because of all those smears they put there, that somehow detracts from the quote. And again, you know, the quote is obviously true. They can't actually counter the quote. They can't say, well, this isn't true. What they have to do is they have to put a load of smear words in there and even link child pornography with it to try and get this quote to not be used. And it is a quote that has been widely used by many, many people for many, many years. And it doesn't always mean that people are talking about Jews either. I mean, you know, it may be talking about the Chinese Communist Party in China. It may be talking about royalty in some places. And the conspiracy crowd may be thinking that it's talking about Jesuits even. But it doesn't necessarily have to be about Jews, but it certainly is a true quote. And we can see that, you know, they can't challenge it. So all they can do is come out with insults about it. And I recommend people who want to learn about what happened here with Kevin Strom. Carolyn Yeager actually went into it in quite some detail. You'll find podcasts on that from this time, 2008, on carolynyeager.net. Well, DeSean Jackson, a wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, was included in the meme after he was accused of anti-Semitism earlier this month when he shared quotes attributed to Adolf Hitler on Instagram. So is that now anti-Semitism to share a quote, to say something Adolf Hitler actually said? Again, they're not challenging what was actually said here. What they're trying to do is just say, well, it was by Adolf Hitler, so it can't make any sense. And I believe it was actually a false quote attributed to Adolf Hitler. There are lots of false quotes attributed to him all over the internet. Actor and rapper Ice Cube faced similar accusations last month after he posted a series of tweets that contained creepy symbols and images, implying Jews were responsible for the oppression of blacks. Where could that possibly come from? I think maybe he was referring to the large role that Jews played in slavery, because they actually owned a lot of these ships and they owned a lot of the markets where the slaves were being sold. Again, they're not actually pointing out what these accusations were that were made. They're just saying, oh, creepy symbols and images. They're just trying to smear it. And finally, comedian Nick Cannon was also struck by a scandal in June after he made anti-Semitic and anti-white comments on his podcast. And there was no censoring of him for his anti-white comments. He said some vile things about white people, and nothing was said about that. And of course, you know, so what if somebody wants to say you know, vile things about white people? I really couldn't care less. I know that white people are great. I love white people. I am white. It means nothing to me if people say hurty words about white people. And you know, it's actually quite pathetic that people do get upset at words, because sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's what I was always brought up with. And the whole of this grievance culture is based around people just, you know, not being able to have not being able to deal basically with people saying hurty things or people disagreeing with them. You know, you have to be able to disagree with people. You have to have debate to get to the truth. And you know, the more these blacks start doing things like this, I think the more of a conversation is going to be had about it. And the more they silence him like this, the more it draws attention to the truth of what they're actually speaking to. What do you make of this bit here, Grandpa, where they're trying to smear these three other truth tellers, black celebrity truth tellers?
Well, I think my voice is back. So I was getting all choked up there, and I'm trying to make it to the end of what I was trying to say and not cough all over the microphone and ruin the show. But I've been sitting here drinking coffee, and Sven's been working diligently to give me enough time to do that here, I think. So, I think we've been at this long enough. Anybody's been on social media back before, you know, we were basically confined to places like Gab back in the day when we could be on Twitter or whatever. And it's so easy to recognize the same tactics, which is, this is the favorite, which is disqualify. You know, somebody brings up an uncomfortable truth and you know, they can't counter that truth. And so they try to play this disqualify game. You can't even consider it because disqualified. And you see this over and over. And I think it's very telling the reactions here. You know, Jackson, Cannon, and this guy as well, now running around looking ridiculous, apologizing. Meanwhile, Ice Cube gives zero about that. I mean, he didn't apologize, you know, and good on him. I mean, once you say it, because these people don't realize, and again, that's why I said this guy is a Nation of Islam guy. He, you know, he should have, like, talked with Louis Farrakhan before stepping off in this, because, you know, Farrakhan could have told him, you know, well, that's fine and good, but you better be ready, you know, to, I mean, to stick with it if that's what you think, because you just look ridiculous running around backpedaling off of this and saying things like you didn't realize, you know, that I didn't even look at the picture. I mean, well, who put these guys? I mean, it was obviously a deliberately, wasn't a generic meme picked up off the internet. Somebody put these black celebrities in the picture. So, and I'm assuming, you know, it was either him or somebody worked for him. So it just looks nonsensical, and it doesn't even do anything. I mean, they haven't been like, oh, okay, it was just a misunderstanding. Go ahead, go back. No, they're still calling for him to be fired. And as I was trying to say is last segment there before I got all choked up. I mean, yeah, there's very much a reason. And again, the thing that's really telling about this is that, you know, just like for the rest of us, I mean, when you're given, I always say with the voting thing, when you're given a choice between candidate A and candidate B, those candidates are, regardless of party, they're pre-selected. That's your pre-selected candidates you get to choose from. And it's telling that your civil rights leaders for the black community are pre-chosen. It's the same faces. If you turn on CNN, MSNBC, whoever, you are presented these same faces, these same hand-selected, somehow magically appointed civil rights leaders that you're allowed to listen to, that you're allowed to, they're just suddenly magically your leader. If you're black and you're concerned about your race and what, you know, your issues, these are the people that are allowed to speak for you. You don't get a say in it. They're just hand selected for you. And again, you're not going to see a Louis Farrakhan history. You get Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King, very little Malcolm X. And there is a reason when you go back and look at what the two said and what the two different people's backgrounds were. We've seen the pictures. I mean, they exist, of Martin Luther King at a communist training camp being run by, what a surprise, that special, is it a religion, is it a race, people that we just aren't allowed to even consider.
I do find it funny that, you know, there's these parallels there. I mean, you've got us guys, you know, content creators with, you know, maybe a few thousand listeners. Maybe some of us have got tens of thousands of listeners or viewers, and we're silenced and we're removed and we're censored. And then you got these guys, you know, with literally millions of people listening to them, you know, people like Ice-T, absolutely huge rappers, and, you know, people with huge followings that you know, that really must think that, you know, that they are untouchable. And here they are, you know, being forced to suffer the same silencing and censoring that we have to go through. And I think that can only be a good thing, really, because, you know, they're going to understand what it's about, and they're then going to be against that and against the censorship. And of course, the main people to be speaking out about this, and this is the same in all these reports on this, you know, they talk about this public outrage, and then the only people they talk to are representatives of the Jews. The Jewish Federation of Philadelphia first issued a statement calling for the NAACP to remove Muhammad on Friday. It doubled down on that demand in another statement on Tuesday, in which it rejected Muhammad's reasoning and decried the fact that he didn't apologize. Mr. Muhammad's statement regarding his anti-Semitic Facebook post is utterly insufficient, the organization wrote. Given the chance to apologize for his actions, he declined to do so. So these are the people he has to please, basically, the very people he's not allowed to criticize. He's now got to bend over backwards apologizing to them. Otherwise, they will ensure that he does get the sack, basically. Governor Wolf condemned Muhammad's vile meme on Twitter, writing, "Sharing this type of racist content is unacceptable, especially from a civic leader." Again, this is going to be very, very confusing for Muhammad, because, you know, what he's pointing out there is oppression of black people. He's pointing out that these black guys spoke their minds and they were cancelled. So to him, the racism here is against black people. And yet, according to Governor Wolf, oh no, that content, it's racist to point out that you are being oppressed by Jews. I mean, you can just see now the cogs whirring in Muhammad's mind as he tries to work all this out. He does look like a nice guy in his pictures. Governor Wolf continues, "I'm joining the call for Minister Muhammad to resign. Hate has no place in Pennsylvania." What do you make of the Jewish Federation of Philadelphia and Governor Wolf, Grandpa?
Why does the Jewish Federation of Philadelphia and Governor Wolf get to choose why do they get to choose? Why do they get to demand that a black man has to step down as a representative for a pro-black racial organization? Where do they come off with that? I mean, really, it's just so in your face. If I was black, I would be really, really offended by this. And once again, he apologized. So now they're just doubling down. Ice Cube didn't apologize. He was the one out of the bunch through this whole thing. He didn't apologize. And lo and behold, they pretty much, when they made their little outrage demands and all this, and he basically flipped them the bird. They just moved on. They moved on to somebody else. And this guy's apologized. What did they say? Well, he hadn't apologized. And it's not sufficient that he apologized. He needs to step down. And again, you've got the Jewish Federation of Pennsylvania and the governor trying to dictate that a black man can't hold a job as a head of a black civil rights organization because they find it offensive. And I don't know. You know, the term racist gets thrown around so much, and I don't want to sound like I'm, they're the real racist lame here, but I mean, it's just so in your face. Well, racist, and yet you're not even supposed to question it.
Well, he's actually doing his job, isn't he? He's a black civil rights leader. He's supposed to be pointing out, oppression of blacks, and he sees these three black guys that are, that are being cancelled, basically. So he points out who it was that got them cancelled, and then he finds out that he's going to be cancelled himself. I mean, what this says is that these black civil rights leaders, they're only supposed to criticise white people for oppressing them. They're certainly not supposed to be pointing out anything that anybody else does. It can only be directed at white people. That's what we can learn from this. We've got another Jew here, A.G. Shapiro. He offered an even more scathing statement, tweeting, "As soon as I learned about Rodney Muhammad's post, I reached out to him directly to understand what happened and ask for a sincere apology. His response to me was offensive, and we are all still waiting for that apology. He has undermined the progress we need to make together to combat anti-Semitism and structural racism that has been baked into our society through generations." He knows all the buzzwords here, doesn't he? Baked into our society. "That is just one reason why I joined so many black leaders in calling on Rodney Muhammad to resign as president of the Philadelphia NAACP. The NAACP is a crucial civil rights organization that deserves better than Rodney Muhammad." And I guess they probably have got some of their other black leaders that are frightened for their jobs and know that the only reason they've got that role is thanks to these Jews. Maybe they have got some of them to call for him to resign, but they certainly don't bring any of them up here. I mean, all they talk about here is Jews that are calling for him to resign. This NAACP, I mean, it sounds pretty good, actually. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. You know, where's the National Association for the Advancement of White People? Where are our advocacy organizations? I'm all for blacks having advocacy organizations. I'm all for Jews having Jewish advocacy organizations. But why is it that we are not allowed to have our own advocacy organizations? Grandpa, have you got a final comment you would like to make about AJ Shapiro here or anything to do with the podcast today?
Well, just earlier, you were talking about, thousands or maybe tens of thousands of listeners. I just want you to know that my ultimate goal is to have 6 million listeners. No, I do think that this is once again, it's very telling that these groups, such as the NAACP, I mean, when you can have the governor come out and suddenly denounce a black man for being a head of a black group and saying he shouldn't be allowed to have that job, and nobody is screaming racism, when you have the attorney general of the state, who is not black, saying that he shouldn't be allowed to be the head of a black organization and calling for this black man to step down, it's just upside down bizarre world. And what he is saying in a nutshell, what this attorney general was saying in a nutshell, is you need to get back on program. you need to get back on the anti-white program. That's what you're allowed to do. Don't be getting off into this forbidden territory. Don't be stepping on this landmine, because if you do, you're going to be canceled. And your position will be snatched away from you. And it tells you right there who gives the position in the first place.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.